welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hey, everybody.
And from the Professional Casual Network, we've got Tim.
Hello!
We are on the second issue of this Wanted story. If you want to check out our previous coverage, check out our last episode. Tim, go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, so issue two is very poetically called Fuck You. And we open up with Wesley kind of commiserating on his life. He's still waking up next to this woman that really doesn't respect him in any way, shape, or form. He walks downstairs. The same old man says the same stupid stuff to him.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of having this internal monologue of like, I keep doing this over and over and over again. There might be a way out of this. Maybe this is real. Maybe this wasn't a dream. Fox pulls up in her sweet fucking ride and is talking to him on the phone and just trying to convince him, listen, this is your shot, Eminem. You only got one shot. Are you going to take it or just let it slip? You need to quit right now. And
not only in the best fashion, best way possible. Take all your papers, throw it in the air.
Yeah. Now.
And then tell everybody, fuck you.
Yeah.
The one thing that the movie did better for this particular scene is that when he quit in the movie, he smashes the keyboard across his boss's face and the keys come off and spell fuck you. Oh, wasn't his boss?
It was Chris Pratt's character, his best friend.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And he smashes the keyboard across the face and like fuck you is spelled out in the keys that fly off of it.
Which is really impressive since that's two U's.
It might have been like F you or something, but regardless, yes.
But he does it. He just throws the papers up in the air like he doesn't even care and yells, fuck you, you fucking assholes, and just takes off. It reminded me a little bit of the Matrix scene where he's getting the call from Morpheus or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. And it just immediately cuts right to an old lady's head being blown off.
Yeah.
And you find out that it's him shooting corpses that Fox has dug up to desensitize him to killing people. Really?
Yeah, like these people don't think of these people as lovable grandmas and grandpas no more. You just think of them as much as motherfucking dead as or something. You know, it's like okay.
It's actually very practical.
I guess.
You're not killing these people.
They're already dead.
And then they have him go to a butcher shop and work effectively like doubles and triples for a couple weeks at a slaughterhouse.
Just get that smell up in your nostrils.
Smell
of death. Once again, incredibly practical. Makes a lot of sense if you're trying to train a killer, especially from the mush that Wesley was before this. They then tie him to a chair and have him get the shit beat out of him every
on
day.
A daily basis. Like, this is, what, I think they say like 5 weeks that he's being trained.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, and let's see here. Yeah, because later on, like about week five is when he finally decides, they take the handcuffs.
Week five.
They take the handcuffs off.
They take the handcuffs off.
Yeah.
As he's being beat down. And he breaks his chair and shoves the broken part through the one beat down guy's skull. I'm like, damn, that's impressive.
And you know he's finally getting the training too when he yells a line, "Fuck you, Dick Cheese."
Yeah.
You know, there's just he's finally asserting himself.
I also like how he's like when Fox asks how he feels for killing after killing his first human, he's like, you know, like I just fucked Marilyn Monroe without a condom. Good on him.
Yeah.
So you feel like you caught something? I don't know.
I mean,
he feels presidential.
Yes. or like he shared a sleeve with a president.
Ooh, ouch.
I do like how he makes that like little nod where he's like, "Yeah, killing's like Pringles. Once you do it, you just have to eat the whole can." Like, It's sure. a one-for-one analogy.
Yeah, makes sense to me. That's why Batman doesn't kill. He doesn't want to eat those Pringles.
Yeah, that's also why he won't eat Pringles. You know, yeah. you got yes. it's super important. The kind of montage training continues, except now he's just on a roof blowing civilians apart.
What gets me though is like he starts just killing random people, and then he starts getting like really specific. Let's see, my old geography teacher, people who pissed me off a kid, the girl next door, the guy across the street who kicked my ass for scratching his Mustang. The chick who said no when I asked her to a movie, like, really?
Yeah, that seems like a pretty minor offense to be killed for. Yeah,
yeah.
Like this is the, you know, kids that used to have the list mm-hmm. at school. That's mm-hmm. what this guy is.
Well, and obviously, yeah. but those kind of kids become killers. He became a killer, so it makes sense.
Well, and it's just that Mark Millar one step too far. I get the I'm taking it out against the people that have harassed me or my bullies or this, that, and the other
and
thing.
And if it would have been just the bullies, like, I understand the group, the gang that keeps, you know, picking on him and, yes. like, beats the shit out of him.
Because that is personal. That's exactly. a daily thing for the last
and
year and a half.
I could understand his best friend
yeah.
fucking his yep. girlfriend for 2 years or whatever.
But
This was the girl that rejected him in high school.
Yeah,
with this character was I couldn't like our protagonist.
You couldn't like Eminem?
No.
And this is when he starts to look like Eminem, like
yeah.
more.
Yeah,
but like haircut and everything. I couldn't. There was nothing
redeeming.
Yeah, like I mean, he was supposed to be a villain. I get it, but like, I mean, the you know, senseless killing. The raping, the, you know, shit like that. That was where this kind of fell off of my...
Okay, interesting.
I completely agree. Like I said, it's that one step too far. Now it's not just killing innocent civilians. Well, I mean, that honestly is a step too far. But raping a celebrity for no reason and the whole premise being, oh, well, it didn't make the news. That's why we're so cool. And it's like, come on. Like, I feel like we're past that at this point, and,
yeah.
and it's just gratuitous. For gratuity's sake, like you're not proving a plot point here.
Exactly, there was no plot point. This was just to be, you know, over the top.
Yeah,
like if he would have been like, you know, oh, I had to blast 16 people, and one of them ended up being this girl that said no to me because they were in the bank while I was trying to, you know, knock it over.
Yeah,
or something.
Like, wrong place, wrong time, kind of thing.
Right. Wrong place, right time in his situation.
His situation, but
yeah, for her, wrong time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been like, oh, you know, so like, yeah, you can see that he is an asshole, but he didn't go out of his way to kill this person because they didn't go out on a date with him. She just ended up being there while he was trying to do something else.
Okay.
Right. And even then I would have, you know, it still wouldn't have sat well, but it would have made more sense as a story thing as opposed to just, let me throw all this shit in your face and make him out to be this terrible, horrible human being.
Well, it's a very big swing from him being the scaredy cat and not wanting to do anything and not wanting to confront anything in the first issue we got to now he's just literally killing people because he can't.
Right.
So
it's almost disappointing, to be perfectly honest, because really the protagonist is now completely irredeemable. And
yeah.
if that was the point that they were going for, maybe. But still, I think it's super played out that raping women and killing innocent people are not good story hooks to illustrate why someone is bad. And it's overdone.
And especially if he had just stuck to the killing of innocent people, and that's all he ever did. That's the worst bad he would do. But to throw in the, and we keep talking about it, throw in him raping the celebrity because he could. Like, okay, why?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right. The montage continues. He's working out. He's getting jacked. Now he's like almost 3 M&M's worth of muscle. and
peanut
like,
or caramel?
I mean, peanut, obviously. He's a big boy now.
I will say this though. Okay, so after he takes apart the gang that has been fucking with him for the last 18 months,
bit off a dude's ear.
Yeah.
Fucking gross.
So this is like week 5, week 6 or something. He's been getting jacked this entire time. He goes back to his girlfriend, and at no point did she recognize that he was getting attractive.
Right.
Like, and being more confident and doing all this stuff. No. In 6 weeks, she didn't know this. Probably, honestly, because she was still fucking his best friend. But
right. Who just, also looks strangely like Eminem in that opening
scene. Well, maybe we've hit on her fetish.
Yeah, I'm sure that was not the only... She fucks Eminem. That's all she ever fucks. Yeah, but like I know at one point he tells her, "Oh yeah, I know."
She calls him all Marshall.
Oh, huh?
She calls him all Marshall.
He tells her that he joined the secret society and that I'm leaving you. And she's like, "Well, why are you doing this? Like, what are you talking about?" And he mentions that he, you know, been having sex training. And she's like, "Oh, so you're admitting it that you're cheating on me?" And he's like, "Fuck off! You've been cheating on me this whole time, and I know it. But I don't worry about that anymore. You know, my best friend's dead. I shot him in the face last night. So you can do whatever the fuck you want."
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And
then he takes off and he kills the old man. Outside.
Dude, like, well, if you heard the same thing over and over again, I'd be annoyed by it too. I do feel bad for the dog, though. He just sat there and watched it.
Yeah. And then he gets initiated into, I do like that they are like, yeah, our initiation ceremony is we burn old Marvel comic books, like, by firelight, and that is how we indoctrinate you into this fraternal Assassin's Guild.
While he's wearing his PVC suit.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
We get a quick scene with Fuckwit and, is it Sucker?
I believe that one's Sucker, yeah.
Yeah, that's the dude who steals their powers, right?
Yep.
Yeah. As they kind of congratulate him.
Which is basically Parasite, but yeah.
Yes. Imp talks to him a little bit, and their Brainiac analog.
Yeah.
As the big bad comes in. I can't remember this dude's name. Rictus?
Mr. Rictus, yep. Yeah.
Who looks badass, honestly. Looks like a cross between like Carnage and Red Skull a little bit.
Yeah.
So there was... I immediately went to Black Skull, or Black Mask, sorry, Black Mask and Batman, only because there was a time in the late 90s, early 2000s, more early 2000s, where Black Mask's mask got, like, infused on his face and looked like a Black Skull.
Okay.
So, that's what I went to.
With his shit partner that's supposed to be Clayface.
Yeah, basically.
Made out of shit.
Yeah. But yeah, but
Rictus... doesn't he make an appearance in Dogma?
Rictus
has the exact same vibes for sure.
Basically, one of the heads of the five villain families that run the world. The Professor is another one. We'll meet the other three, I think, in the next issue or two. But yeah, he shows up because, well, it's a ceremony, and he is allowed at these ceremonies because he's one of the five heads. But nobody there wants him there. It also gets revealed that Wesley's dad used to work for, along with Fox, whom was revealed in the last issue that Fox and the killer had a relationship. Yeah, they were basically just fuck buddies. But they both used to work for Rictus until they left and came to the Professor. We didn't talk about that last issue. That was on me.
Yeah, shame on you.
Yeah, that's whatever. We got lots to cover, so.
It's fine.
Yeah,
I do like the little one of the dolls is flipping off Rictus there.
Yes,
that's fun.
After all the pageantry, too, Professor kind of pulls. I keep wanting to call him Eminem, but Wesley
just
aside,
you can call him Eminem,
and kind of gives him the rundown of what happened to all the superheroes. That there was this big event. And that at one, and this has always made a lot of sense to me, why this has never happened in Marvel or DC, and I suppose it has in certain events. But, you know, Spider-Man has a rogues gallery of, like, 20 villains.
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't they teamed up outside of the Sinister Six to really dogpile on the superheroes? And that's effectively what they figured out. They were like, all right, well, instead of being small-time crooks robbing banks and getting our asses kicked on a regular basis, why don't we just absolutely overwhelm them? And they did, and wiped out every superhero ever.
Yep.
And erased them from everyone's memory.
And that's the beauty of it. Like, there are certain stories when that does happen. Like, I know Batman Nightfall, that kind of... They're not teaming up, but they're attacking Batman with basically all at the same time in... Sinister Six is basically that.
Yeah. Old Man Logan is effectively the villains won and they divvied up the U.S.
Yeah. So it has happened before, but that's one of those tales where, yeah, it's a good event for the main, those like Marvel and DC, but what are you going to get from it? Like,
right.
Okay. Like, but that's also something that they go to all the time. DC just did it not too long ago with Forever Evil in the New 52 run, where the villains, the Earth 3 villains, so like Ultraman and Owlman and the Wonder Woman, I can't remember that, Superwoman, I think is what her name is. They're the villains. They're the, you know, the switched villainy of the heroes. They come and they just take over Earth. Like, it just happens.
Yep.
And it was a good event. But that's really all it is. Them, with Millar doing it here, where, yeah, the villains teamed up together, and they finally, every single one of them team up together and just took out every single hero. That's an interesting story, which is why we got this.
Mm-hmm. And I do like how he kind of goes through and he kind of references, like, well, Superman's flipping burgers now, and Batman can't poop in a bag without mm-hmm. someone helping him. And they have no idea. They've used this machine to absolutely wipe the existence from every single person's mind so that no one could ever potentially try to take up that flag or take up that shield or cape again.
Yep.
That they will be forever going forward. You know, the greatest trick the devil ever did was convince the world he didn't exist, and that's effectively what they've done here.
Yeah.
By just making it fairy tales and make-believe.
Yeah, and it perfect. Like, make it... Yeah, you get... What did he say? It's relegated to comic books and the funny papers. Like, that's all that they ever have. And no one is any the wiser.
And the big thing that they all agreed on was that no trace, zero clues, everything, full decimation. But he shows Wesley that he's effectively kept what I am assuming to be the cape of their analog Superman.
Yes.
The source genetic material for Fuckwit himself is the one relic that they've kept.
Yeah, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Kind of badass. But that's how we end that issue.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you want to hear more of Tim, go over to professionalcasual.com to check out all of his shows that he is a part of. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this wanted story.